With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
On today's episode of the Blue White Illustrated Recruiting Podcast, Sean Fitz and myself get into the latest 2023 prospect to take an official visit to Penn State, as well as another emerging 2023 player I think fans need to keep an eye on. We also get into a few names that were up for Central Michigan. I was out to see Quentin Martin this past weekend, and we're also going to maybe hit on a couple of names to get to keep an eye on for the Northwestern game. Let's get into it. All right, Fitz. Week three, I guess, for us here, but week four of the season, we'll say. Big official visitor this past weekend, Edwin Joseph, of course. We've been talking about him for a couple weeks now. Four-star now at on three. Got that bump the other week, and I think in a couple weeks, as more schools probably are going to keep calling, I think people all up and down the East Coast are going to see why that was justified. Of course, he's crushing it right now with Shaman Abadana, but I'll throw it to you to start, Fitz. I mean, just kind of what are you hearing coming out of this visit? We've both been reaching out to people we know, and seems like a pretty good visit overall. I'm still waiting to get in touch with Joseph here, but just from our limited conversations, he seems to really enjoy himself.
Yeah, I think so. I think the first thing to take away from this is Edwin Joseph came up for an official visit. So if they're rolling out the red carpet for an official visit right now for any prospect in the 2023 class, that means you have to pay attention to him. Joseph was up. This is one that he wanted to come up for, or he was planning on coming up for the whiteout. And then all of a sudden Miami comes, Florida State comes, and Penn State's like, well, let's get him up here while we can and see what happens. I think it was a very good first impression. He's wanted to get up for a long, long time. You know, he's got a great relationship with Jaywon Sider and some of the other staff members at Penn State, but it seemed to have gone well. This is one where, you know, we talked about it last week. Relationships are going to be so important in this one because location certainly isn't in your favor, but seemed like he had a good trip. Seemed like they were impressive with what they were throwing out there as a guy that can get out there and maybe play right away from you or for you. I don't know if that's, you know, particularly possible with Joseph, but I will say this. The more kids that I talk to, the more of them have noticed Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, Drew Aller, Abdul Carter, Denai Dennis, the freshmen getting out there and playing right away. And that's really helping Penn State right now. So it'd be interesting to see if that, you know, sort of moves the needle for Edwin Joseph. You see his highlights right here. Really, really good senior year as a receiver. I know some other schools are recruiting him as a defensive back, so maybe that's something that it comes down to. But I think Penn State made a really good impression from talking to people on campus. It seems like they think that they're right in the thick of things. It's probably going to be a later decision, October, November, but that's a really good first impression. And you know, if it was good enough, maybe get him up again next week or next month for an unofficial visit. I don't know that that's particularly possible, but you know, I think that's certainly still on the table.
Yeah, so far this season, 22 receptions, 368 yards, 4 touchdowns, playing receiver. As you mentioned, the play at corner has certainly grabbed some people's attention. I know Charles Power said that had a big impact on him being upgraded to a 4-star. Really, what to watch now moving forward, at least in my eyes, is just will he take some more officials? I expect him to. He certainly plans to. Hasn't done a Miami official yet. I think that'll probably come at some point. Also mentioned Utah, which is always, you know, we talk about this all the time. Utah always pops in.
Utah and Penn State were the top two for the longest time. It just doesn't make a ton of sense, but Miami's right in his backyard. Mm-hmm. Miami really struggling right now, which could be good, could be bad for a recruitment like that. And then Florida State has had some success too. So yeah, but Utah and Penn State have been the two constants here, which is pretty hilarious when you think about it.
Yeah, the other school he's mentioned too is that he's trying to take an unofficial to Louisville and then circle back for an official with his parents at a later date. Of course, nothing's set right now, so let's see how it plays out. But I think overall there seems to be some positivity that this was a good visit with Penn State. And let's just kind of see how things shake out here. Will they be able to get him back even down the road? Maybe even I think it'll be hard. It's often hard with the South Florida guys to get him back for unofficial visits, but something to keep an eye on in the months ahead. Let's switch over now to Rodney Laura, emerging 2023 prospect that we've been talking about a little bit on the message boards, but man, last week decommits from Virginia. I think it was Saturday morning or Friday evening. One of those two, Sean.
I know you messaged me while I was tailgating, so it was, I think it was Saturday morning.
yes, that's right. Yeah.
Laura, Penn State wants to add another defensive lineman, preferably an edge, but anytime you can find a guy that's fits his profile, about 6'4", 270, that can move, you're going to be interested. Penn State hasn't offered yet. I think that's important to note. Mm-hmm. But some other schools, I know Michigan's involved, and a couple of other schools are involved, and his profile seems to be rising. And as you mentioned, decommitted from Virginia just the other day.
Yeah, I've been talking to some people about this. I do think there's a chance he gets up for this Northwestern game. It's not set at the moment, but Penn State's aware of it, and Rodney's interested in coming. It's only Tuesday, so let's see where things are at here in the coming days. But I wouldn't be shocked if he's on campus this upcoming weekend. As Sean mentioned, 6'4", 270 out of Woodbury Forest, Virginia, was committed to Virginia and decommitted the other day. So just something to keep an eye on. As Sean said, I feel like defensive end is definitely their preference. Of course, they need to get him on campus too. So getting him up here, getting around him, getting around his family, I think that'll have a big impact on whether he gets an offer or not. But if he is able to make it up this weekend, get around the family, as I said, interact with the coaching staff, keep an eye on a potential offer to come. But like I said, I think DN would be their preference there, Sean. Or we know DN would be their preference there, but I just think right now they're trying to find the best guys they can. And Rodney certainly is an emerging prospect in the region. So something to keep an eye on. Let's transition to one other guy here quick that we got to get in for 2023 talk. Andrew Rappelier, first full game of the season, Buckingham Brown and Nichols, which is where Ronan Hanifin plays. He was a former 2023 prospect for Penn State. Boy, impressive looking highlights here for Andrew Rappelier. We know all about his numbers. I think Sean and I have talked about him before here. Does he run like a 4.6, Sean? 4.5? I mean, I know the numbers have been really impressive for Andrew, and 6'4", 215. He's putting up some heck of highlights here.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for us to avoid the Freiermuth comparisons here. Then the New England kid, a little bit older than his class. But you look at the highlights. He had a phenomenal game, phenomenal start to the season. They start a little bit later up in New England, and he was as a blocker, as a pass catcher, just all over the place. And it was a pretty phenomenal start to the season. I talked to a couple of people this morning. It's one of the more impressive starts to the season that you'll see, especially for a tight end. Runs well, as you mentioned, right in the 4.6-ish area. But against one of the more legitimate teams that he'll play in that schedule this season. So I flipped that on this morning. I was like, whoa, this guy, he's got something. And I know Penn State really likes him. Flipped him from Michigan, of course, has always been high on him. And I think he's maybe a prospect we don't talk about enough.
For sure. Absolutely. One thing. So they won that game 31-14, as I said, over Buckingham Brown and Nichols. They have two more big matches coming up here. Lawrence Academy this upcoming weekend. And then they play Thayer on Saturday, October 8th. I would expect Penn State to be up there. Probably Ty Howell will end up being up at that game. Of course, Samson Okunlola plays for Thayer. That's Penn State's bye week. So everything aligns for somebody from Penn State to be at that game. As I said, in 2 weeks here. So let's keep an eye on Andrew's season. I don't have stats. I was trying to get the stats off his film there, but they move too fast and different angles and stuff. So I couldn't figure it out, but it looked like at least 100 yards receiving, and watching him bully around some guys was fun to watch. So, all right, Central Michigan visitors, not much of a big visitor list for this one. I would expect this to be the smallest recruiting crowd that we've seen this season. Sean, you were up there. I wasn't up there this weekend. I think it was about 60 guys overall, but really it was probably about a dozen or so when it comes to either walk-ons or potential scholarship guys.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a visitor list like this, and we're typically focused on, aside from Edwin Joseph, the official visitors, but the commits were, a couple commits were there, London Montgomery, Javen Williams, of course. But not a ton to take away from uncommitted visitors. You wrote about David Polipoli, defensive tackle from Hempfield in the Lancaster area. I talked to him last week as well, about 6'2", 300. This kid, is a work in progress, but he moves pretty well for a 300 pounder. That's still a junior in high school. I've actually watched all of his clips, just sort of in sequential order earlier, or I guess late last week. And I think he's getting better every game. So interested to see, you know, how hard Penn State pushes there, because if they do, I think Penn State's clearly in the lead right now. It'll be interesting to see what other schools will come up. But you and I both talked to him. Really, really nice kid. Really open about the process and things like that. Penn State, I think, in a really, really good spot early. A couple of other guys with offers that popped up. Daniel Coles, a running back from Brook Point in Stafford, Virginia. Of course, Penn State has had a lot of success recruiting running backs from around Stafford, Virginia. Coles, 6'6", 206. He hasn't played much this year, at an MCL sprain, but he came up as his third visit this year, came twice in the spring and picked up an offer after the spring game. And then Shamir Fredericks, big safety from New York, Canarsie, which is obviously a school that Penn State has been successful with at times and has had a lot of kids on campus from time to time. 6'3", 153. So good thing it wasn't too windy on Saturday. He's a guy that has a Penn State offer. He's a bunch of offers, actually. Notre Dame's in there as well. Certainly one to watch there as a 2024 safety.
Yeah, so when he came up for – he's actually lost weight since the season, because when he came up for the Lash Bash, he was around 165-ish or so. So, of course, Penn State – I mean, every school would want to see him more gaining more weight than losing it, but that does happen during football season. But, I mean, he has a lot. I got to watch him – Shamir, of course, I'm talking about here. I got to watch him for the 7-on-7 that Canarsie attended. I think it was the first 7-on-7 this year. And he does move really well for a guy his size, good vision and things like that. There is a lot to work with there, but, of course, he has to get a little bit bigger down the road. One thing I'll mention with Polly too, I'm looking forward to seeing him in about 2 to 3 weeks from now. They play Exeter, of course. Joey Schlafler is a part of that program, so I'm going to be looking forward to going down to that game. Polly did mention that Pitt, West Virginia, and I think Akron were among the schools who haven't offered yet, but have started to pick up a little bit of interest since September 1. So keep an eye on that. Louisville, Temple are his other offers at the moment. So, look, clearly, if he continues to progress well and the relationship with Penn State goes well, a lot of things look positive for Penn State. But as Sean mentioned, it's like with all these 2024 guys, it's pretty much a work in progress.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, with that said, there are a couple 2024 guys that are just, we know they're going to be takes for Penn State. And one of them I got to watch this past weekend in Quinton Martin. So here's the thing I'll say with Quinton is right now, with his scheme and the way his school's operating, he's kind of being used as a dummy a little bit. So he didn't have, all the flashy stats and whatnot from going out there the other night. But he did have a great punt return for about 95-yard touchdown, a couple really nice runs as well. Was actually really impressed with some of his defensive play as well. Made some really nice tackles. They ended up beating Thomas Jefferson. It was a low-scoring game, I think like 21-7, something like that. So not a whole lot of flashy highlights in everything from that. What I did get to do, most importantly, was catch up with Quinton. Quinton is he'll be the first to tell you he's not into doing all the interviews and whatnot, but a lot of new schools coming. LSU's coming, Georgia's coming, Alabama's coming. We expected this, of course, but they haven't offered yet, but they are really working hard to build relationships. He made it clear that Tennessee and Texas are two schools that he'd like to take unofficials to, which in addition, of course, is Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, all schools that have a strong relationship with him, have already offered and whatnot. The other key thing he did note is that he does plan to be at the Whiteout game, which I think we all kind of expected. That would be visit number 7 for Quinton. But, just an incredible athlete. But right now he's just kind of being used as a decoy with them. And I understand it. I mean, he's being double teamed all the time. And, I mean, we see this all the time, right? A guy has a massive breakout year. The following year, every team, schemes against him. And then he's kind of used as a decoy.
Well, you see it all the time. You're going to stop getting these invites because you went to Iowa True. And saw a low-scoring game. You went to yes. see Quentin Martin low-scoring. I don't know who you're going to see next, but hopefully it's a defensive prospect. So, Quentin Martin's going to be a national prospect. Is he going to be a five-star? You can have questions about that because you talk projection about is he a running back? What is he at the next level? Is he a big receiver? I know we've talked linebacker before, but it seems like offense is where he wants to be. So, but this kid's going to be a national prospect. Penn State, I think, has done a very nice job getting themselves out in front of that wave that's going to come. But this, I think, is going to be an interesting recruitment. I know they don't talk NIL, but that's one of those things when you talk to people that have been around that recruitment. I think it's going to be prominent, and in the 2024 class, will probably keep coming up as much as, if not more, than in the 2023 class. But can't debate you at all in terms of him being a phenomenal athlete. Wish you could see more, but I guess that's part of going and seeing live games. We watch so many highlights. We watch, all these teams that have six or seven D1 prospects and things like that. We forget that these typical high school games. I mean, I watched my high school a couple weeks ago on YouTube, and I mean, it looks like, no offense to you, a bunch of you running around out there. So we tend to forget what these typical week-to-week high school football games are. I'm sorry, I didn't come in trying to.
No offense to you
for that. We forget when we don't see all these prospects out there that this is still high school football, and it's going to be something different.
I'll just say this. I was very spoiled last year with all the Nick Singleton games and a couple other guys over the years, but Michael Parsons back in the day, we got great highlights from him, but I'll be curious to see Bell Vernon down the road. Thomas Jefferson, of course, is a great program. Jordan Mayer's committed to Wisconsin. He plays for them. That was a big win for Bell Vernon. Bell Vernon actually lost two games leading into this one, and Bell Vernon's expected to be one of the top schools in the Whitfield this year. But good to just go out there and get to know people, too. The one other thing I'd say, too, is talking to his head coach, Matt Humbert. I was drilling him on the position thing because obviously he knows him better than anyone. He thinks outside linebacker is still the best position for Quentin long term. Just putting that out there.
I don't disagree. That's the first thing we saw. I mean, how many times do you see a 6'2", 215-pound running back that's that size in high school stay at that position? But I keep going back to this story. Keenan Allen's coach told me he'd be a heck of a weak side linebacker as well. So, you know, it's not the high school coach that comes around with the most accurate evaluation. We'll leave that to the college coaches.
Fair enough. All right. Northwestern, let's get into this. 3:30 kickoff for Penn State. I think most of us kind of were thinking it'd end up being noon. Of course, that's been announced for over a week now. But if you would have asked me a couple weeks ago, I thought that would be like a noon ESPN kind of kick. But they get the 3:30 treatment, which is always important in the recruiting world. We're still working to put together a list right now, but I think that 3:30 is going to be really important for this. It should get that list into a different level. You know, usually you get a handful of guys for that first Big Ten game, a handful of scholarship guys. I think now we're going to be looking at, you know, maybe they could get up to 10 or so scholarship guys. It's still ways to go out, but just looking over previous years, that's kind of what they've averaged. Of course, they did. I think last year they opened Indiana at home, and that ended up being a night game, so that wasn't the best of comparisons. But Jalen Harvey is a name I'm keeping an eye on this weekend. He's right now kind of planning to come up. Of course, Jalen's been here in the past, and then he's had a couple visits where he plans to be here, wasn't able to make it. But right now, you know, he's one of the top guys we're keeping an eye on. Four-star prospect out of Quincy Orchard in Potomac, Maryland. I think this would be his third visit to Penn State, I want to say. Maybe fourth. I think
it's hard to say because I think he's intended to visit many times, and we just have to keep track of the ones when he makes it.
Yeah. I think I'm doing a good job tracking it, but I probably made a mistake there somewhere. So right now I have two on his profile. That would make this his third. But as I mentioned, I mean, he was planning to come, I think, the last bash as well. Wasn't able to make the last bash. So let's see if he's able to make it up. A couple other guys I'll mention here quick. Juan Minaya is a decent-looking offensive tackle prospect out of Paramus Catholic. Keeping an eye on him this weekend. As of right now, he is planning to be in attendance. Penn State has already offered Juan. We have him at 6'6", 315. Three-star prospect with a few quality offers, Michigan State, Ole Miss, I believe Boston College is another one, so another player to keep an eye on. And then one other I'm going to see, I don't have him completely locked in yet, but I'm keeping an eye on him as well, as Rico Scott out of Bishop McDevitt. speaking of games, I got to watch players play. Rico, I watched play his first game a year against Imhotep. He dropped the ball like four times. So now don't get me wrong, Rico's having a great season. But it was just one of those, it was one of those bad games that I guess I'm unlucky this year. But Alabama, Texas A&M, Minnesota, a few other quality teams. I think Georgia's another one in there. Rico's been on campus four times now. This would be his fifth if he's able to make it up. He's a four-star prospect in the On3 consensus. And right now, like I said, I would list him as 50-50 at the moment, but another quality player we're keeping an eye on.
Yeah. I've got one here, Jairon Hughley, 2026 athlete. We'll label him. He plays quarterback. He plays safety. Coming up from Florida. Why is that interesting? A 2026 kid. He's Jawan Sider's nephew. Penn State was, I believe, the second program to offer him. Charles Huff was the first at Marshall to offer him. Hughley's a really good player, and he continues to grow. I know he's been up for camp before. Having Uncle Jawan here probably doesn't hurt Penn State's chances, but really, really good looking athlete in the 2026 class. Like I said, I don't want to spend too much time dealing with that class right now, because there's a lot of time to go as to develop into a prospect, but he's a good looking one so far. So I think that Northwestern list is going to be a little bit better. I mean, you mentioned how they've sort of built up to this. I think the fact that they're winning is making them a little bit more appealing, and some guys may not be able to make it for the whiteout or make it for the Ohio State game. So you've got a 3:30 kick. It'll allow those guys that you can expand your territory a little bit in terms of driving distance and things like that to get those guys up for this weekend.
For sure. One other guy too, I did forget to mention, I have spoken with, is Nair Daniels. He's out of Bergen Catholic in North Jersey. Nair did say he's 50-50 at the moment, but he is trying to get on campus up this weekend. Big offensive tackle prospect, 6'2", 348 is where he was in the summertime. I believe that was for a camp early in the summer. I think it was 6'12 is what I have listed on his profile. So if he's able to make it up this weekend, this will be his third visit to Penn State. He was on campus back in April and then for a camp in June. So and let's see what makes it up.
You said 6'2". It's a little bit off. It's 6'7".
6'7".
There's a bit of a difference between someone 6'2", 348 and 6'7", 348 in terms of frame. But yeah, you mentioned Juan Manai a little bit, get all the 2024 offensive linemen you can get on campus while you can and try and figure that out from there. Take a look at the frames, take a look at the measurement, the arm length, the hand size, do all the little micromanaging type analysis that you can do, and then maybe reshuffle that deck later.
Yeah, of course, I was listening to our podcast last week. I think I said Ohio like five times, and really it was the Central Michigan game. So I'm good at that. And as long as I'm hosting, get used to that, guys. Any final thoughts, Sean? I noticed T.A. Cunningham is a notable prospect. I think anyone who follows recruiting and what's happened with T.A., Georgia kid, goes out to California, ruled ineligible. If you've seen the stories over the last couple weeks or so, it's been a little bit of an issue or just grabs everybody's attention with what's happened to him. But of course, TA has just been ruled eligible, which we're all really happy for. A really nice kid and a Penn State prospect as well.
Penn State's on him. Everybody's on him, to be honest with you, a national prospect. But Penn State staff been supportive through this whole thing. And I think everyone's happy to see TA get ruled eligible.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for us this week. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back next week with a recap of Northwestern visitors. And if I make it to another game, hopefully we get some highlights. We can watch it there. But appreciate everyone, and we'll talk next week.